start our meeting. Firstly, I like to we look forward to your presentation of your threat plan, and so that we can do our work for the new financial year. Before dealing with the policies, we are going to introduce our chair. I'm Ellen Strunt. I'm the chairperson of this meeting committee. Over to the honourable members to introduce your chair.
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mandla Isaac Khai, a member of the committee representing the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Bridget Masango, member of the committee representing Gauteng.
Sanibonani Igama Omusa Nkosi Mlambo, who represents Gauteng Ilunga the committee.
Just in time to introduce myself. Omi Singh, member of the committee from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, everybody. Bayo Smith, representing Limpopo.
Thank you very much. Can we go over, Honourable Minister, to your team? You're welcome to introduce you and your team. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Member. You say I've brought the very massive delegation. That's how we take your work so serious. I'll start from the gentleman there. His name is James Aguma, the CFO of the SABC, the Malaysian team. And then next to him is the Chief Operating Officer of the SABC, Mr. Saudi. Then I have Krista, also the chief, is also from the SABC responsible for strategy. And then we have Joe Rantete, who's head of strategy in the ministry. And then I have Mr. Dan Mancha, who's my special advisor on legal matters. Then we have Mr. Donald Lipoko. Is the acting DG of GCIS, Government Communication and Information System. And then the guy on my left, he is a gentleman. Okay. He's Mr. Ndivuo Munjerere, is the acting DG, Department of Communication. And then Ayanda Sishe is our liaison officer in Parliament for the FABC. And then we have really small like is the this guy is very strong, Honorable Chair. He's the CFO of GCIS and also interim CFO of Department of Communication. But he doesn't get the dual salary, ne? He's earning one salary.
Ms. Porter is a head of strategy in GCIS. And then I think you know Ms. Olisa. She's the PLO for the Deputy Minister. And then there's Mr. Makamu. The extreme right there is the admin secretary in our office, the guy that you normally communicate with. And then we've also been joined by the board member of Brand SA, Mr. Jeff Rocher. It's here representing the chair. You know the chair is busy with the xenophobic matters in our thing. And there's a consultative forum that the president has convened, which is happening. I think he joined to weather.
So John C is representing the CEO also of Brand SA. It's okay. And there's Tendele also, she just arrived. Tendele. She'll tell you what she do if you're representing the economy. But she's representing the other senior managers. So that's this huge delegation and say that we have brought to you to answer all your questions.
Thank you very much. I think I'm very much impressed with this delegation of yours. And we look forward to interact with you all. Thank you very much. Can we have the apologies? I received the apology from the Deputy Minister. of GCIA?
No,
okay. Of communication.
Yes.
Thank you. And apologies from Honorable Labeskagni. Also apology from Honorable Member Papi. Yeah, it's an apology that we received. Firstly, I want to say, Honorable Minister, I hope that you cover in your documentation the provincial interest issue, because like the members introduced themselves, you could hear that we are representing the provinces. We are representing the provinces, and we like to hear more about the programs that you run in the provinces and what is the program like. Thank you very much. Before we go in to say anything else, I think we must move with the presentation so that we can finish in time. Is there any one who wants to say something before I'm giving over to the minister? Thank you, Honorable. Hi, you want to say something?
So I didn't have my hand up, but just to appreciate the delegation from the minister. I don't know whether it's got to do with the I saw on 4-8 that there was a portfolio committee. I don't know whether it's recorded or if it was yesterday. But then if it was yesterday, I think it's a good point that there is a coordination between the portfolio committee and the select committee, so that if the ministry and the minister and the delegation come to the portfolio committee of the National Assembly, but then as the following day, then you could come to the select committee. Rather than coming to present the strategic plan and the APP to the NA portfolio committee, go back and then come back again to present the same to the select committee. I think between the management of the portfolio committee, the select committee, and the ministry, there should be a coordination so that we also assist in saving costs. So it's my appreciation, but I'm speaking from correction where this was yesterday, but I'm just on 4-8 that there was a portfolio committee.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Yeah, maybe to respond what Honorable Mandahe just said, we were presenting to the portfolio committee yesterday, and then it's a pity we couldn't finish. And from then, now we started it at past 9. There's still MDGA and the Films and Publication Board. So timing permitting, because we've had discussions with the chairperson, when they finish, they need to also come inside so that we complete the process. But I think that was good coordination, though there was a slight clash that we are trying to juggle around. Then chairperson and members,
the two members, you can take your seat. Where is there enough chairs? Amanda, can you bring please? Thank you. Welcome to the two honorable members, Member Pakis and Member Safago. Thank you, welcome. Can you somehow introduce yourself while you settle in?
Good morning, my name is Ulifile Sofako. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you. The province I'm from, Moses Kotane province. Bukonibupri, the former Bukonibupri.
Thank you.
My name is Felipe, I'm a member of the committee. I'm not regionalistic, always will.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Minister, for your team to do the presentation. I think communication will start. Or who's going to start? You can lead. Thank you.
I believe this time sir, you get your documentation on time. I wanted to ascertain that.
This is why I didn't write anything about documents. We did, you know, we still push you to raise issues if we're not satisfied. I must actually say thank you for the team that you really, we received our documents in time. We had time to go through it. I even at my management meeting this morning and I could give inputs on what I went through the plan. Thank you very much.
We are pleased to hear that, given our past experience with the comments. Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members. As provincial representatives of our people, we'd like to inform you that from May, we'll be embarking on the provincial consultations. On the community broadcasting support strategy. Here, Honorable Members, will be trying to engage with communities and district municipalities on how best to support community broadcasters. Remember that it is the policy of the governing party that there must be a radio station per district municipality, at least one television station per community television per province. Our motto here is that nothing will happen in any province without the involvement of the premier offices. Then our first entry point whenever we go to provinces will be to engage with premiers. This will carry out with MGDA, Centec from the other Postal and Telecoms Ministry, and ICASA. Honorable Chairperson, we have also taken a political decision with that regards 30% advertising spend that has to go to the community media. We as the department and the ministry, together with GCIS and MDDA, we will engage with premier so that the spending is also determined from the level down. It shouldn't be only national departments doing that. Also, we will expect provincial departments, including local governments, to be doing what we have started. The intention here, Chairperson, is to, we are avoiding a situation where a national government might also be seen as involving itself in provincial matters. Through our engagement, we will also avoid duplication of resources. Together with MDA, Centec, and ICASA, we have been engaging in provincial consultation with community broadcasters. Myself and the Deputy Minister visits to provinces in our first 2 months in office. The intention here, based on the instruction from Parliament, is that we collectively work together to address and unblock all problems in advance facing these stations in the provinces. This has assisted us a lot in streamlining our signal distribution support and stations equipment rollout plan. We are continuing with this approach and will ensure that your constituencies get the best public service from us and their challenges and the problem and get easily, quickly and speedily resolved. As indicated, members, you will be aware that the digital migration policy and the broadband connect policy are now in place. There's an item that we'll deal with later to brief you on the digital migration policy. With this comes a need for the development of a digital content strategy. The ministry realized that there were actually two or three provinces, namely Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape, that had content production capacity and were actively involved in producing content. As government, we don't believe that it is necessary or must that when you want to produce content about Umlazi or Mankweni Limpopo or Matatiele or Sanderson, then you will have to travel to Johannesburg. It's within this context that we have been collaborating with the DTI and Arts and Culture to finalize this strategy. You will be pleased to note that the SABC has also begun looking at the strategy and starting to project to produce content from various provinces throughout the country. And then they have the so-called provincial production hubs so that they enhance the strategy. You see, you know the production of Ozan currently is the case in point that the SABC has led. Honorable members, we will appreciate if you were to allocate another time for us to also come and brief you on the strategies as they are affecting your constituencies directly. We will be happy, and actually we are looking forward to coming back here to also brief you on these two key strategies. Lastly, Chairperson and Honorable Member, with regards to the said xenophobic and Afrobeat attacks that we have been experiencing, the department will be working together with MDDA, SABC, and NEMISA on program production. Here will be training stations, especially young journalists, on producing content that will be dealing directly with issues of immigration, job creation, crime and unemployment, amongst others. SABC will be our major partner because of the capacity it has in terms of writers and production facilities. We are serious when we say attacks should not happen in our names, and we say no to them. We will also rope in print essays to that regard. From the third quarter of this financial year, all of the above institutions will be looking at training community broadcasters on how to report and cover the local government elections. SABC experiences in covering provincial and national elections will also come in handy in this regard for the underfunded and underserved community broadcasters. In this regard, we'll also come back here and give you updates. The GCIS provincial and liaison support system has matured and is ready to deliver communication services to our people in all corners of South Africa. Access to information is the most important means to empower the marginalized and poor citizens, many of whom reside in our rural areas. The GCIS has therefore prioritized its leadership of interdepartmental communication through joint planning and sharing of messages across the three spheres of government to ensure the coherence of messages. Our two strong services centers are an important access point for government services in many of the communities. These offices provide access to home affairs services such as application for ID documents, Department of Social Development registration for social grants, and information resources for small business opportunities through the DTI. Our Izimbizo program, which takes political principles to communities, continues to grow as we take government program of action to the people and we listen to community needs. This is an important part of accounting to our people and clarifying our government policies. I'm pleased to announce to the honorable members that in the Izimbizo Focus Week that we had from the 7th to the 12th of April 2015, we achieved more than 70 Izimbizo engagements and we will sustain this throughout the year. Vukuzenzele is a newspaper that is so close to many readers that and will carry a government job vacancy supplement from July. You will be seeing all the government adverts in this magazine. You know it's free. We distribute it to over 1.7 million South Africans. This will allow our people, particularly those in rural areas, to have the opportunity to apply for jobs in government. These adverts currently only appear in national newspapers, which our people in rural areas don't have access. Some cannot even afford to buy them. So our support, you can see, honorable members, that our support for community media is unwavering, with more than 36 million of government advertising allocated to community media through media bulk buying. This investment makes a very significant contribution to the sustainability of community media. The training and development of communicators also in the provinces will receive a renewed focus as we build capacity among the communicators at local municipality level. This will also influence government's rapid response to situations as they arise on the ground and combat negative information on government service delivery records. We will continue to tell the good stories of our achievements. And Chairperson, with these few words, I'll hand over to, firstly, to the DG of GCIS. Which presentation is on the floor? Communication. So the DG of Communication will do that, and I'll also provide the copies of my notes to yourself as we progress, because we can also use this one to measure myself.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your very, very kind words. Actually, words of hope, I would say. Because out of your presentation, I could pick up that you really are on track now, and you know that you what you want to do. And I can see that you're taking up your task very seriously. You could pick up in the beginning it was a bit, you know, trying to sort the two departments out. And I think now, by now, you know what your task is and what you want to do. I'm very much impressed by the ambitions that you have. And I think those ambitions, except the education part of SABC about the xenophobia, also assisting to educate our people how to treat foreigners. Because we have a need to do that, because I don't think that we as South Africans all do understand what contribution those people is bringing to our country. And some we can, I think we need to data those things. The people is coming in with certain skills, and we can learn from them in a way. Especially they are very good in doing things on their for themselves. And I think we must use those people to assist our South Africans who fear for those people to come and use our resources in South Africa. Thank you very much. Over to the DG to do the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister, and colleagues. I will be taking you through the Department of Communications strategic plan and annual plan. I'll try to be as succinct as possible, and also highlight the areas that we should be working together, mostly on policy related matters, as it were. Minister has touched on some of those areas. The presentation will look at the vision, the mission and statement. I must say up front, Honorable Members, that the presentation looks quite big. It is for the first time that we are presenting the new Department of Communications, as it were, and we try to put as much information as possible in the presentation so that you can also benefit from the work that we are doing, going forward. I will move straight into slide number 5. In your text, which talks to our vision and mission, clearly to indicate what we stand for as a department and what is our vision. A vibrant and sustainable communication services for informed citizenry and positive images of South Africa. This vision is taken, to a large extent from what the President has announced. We want efficient and vibrant communication services for informed citizenry, not only citizens, but citizenry including our institutions, like our own private companies and so on. Our mission, we exist because we want to create an enabling environment for the provision of inclusive communication services to all South Africans in a manner that promotes socio-economic development and investment through broadcasting, new media, print media, and other new technologies, and brand the country locally and internationally. That's what defines why we exist as a department. And I think in here we try to be as forward-looking as possible, taking into account the fact that technology is moving. You've got advent of new technologies as they come, which provide new mediums or platforms that information is transmitted from between individuals and between countries, as it were. Our value statement, we stand for you know, ensuring that there's certainty in the policy environment. People centered, people in our view counts first. They need to be informed about what we do. Quality standards and products, integrity, we must be responsive and innovative. We derive our mandate from the Constitution, which in particular the principles of freedom of expression, freedom to receive or impart information or ideas, and freedom of artistic creativity. Also focusing on deepening democracy, sustaining nation building, and patriotism by ensuring that citizenry is informed about government programs and that they are also able to influence and participate in such programs. It's not only one way. We will also want to get feedback from government. Minister spoke about the Ease and Visa program, which is a program that you know, government engages with the public in that way. So we want to be proactive at the same time getting feedback from the communities in a situation. These are our legislative mandates. In the main, the mandate that governs our entities that are here, you know, ICASA, you know, the broadcasting, the SABC, Freedom Publication Board, and the MDDA. In this slide, Chair, I just want to highlight the last two that. The one of the sectors that we are responsible for, which is broadcasting, is a sector that is regulated internationally through the UN agency responsible for telecommunication called the ITU, which put regulatory measures around how we manage the radio frequency spectrum. So we will be quite active in that sphere at international level. At the same time, we are also equally going to be active in the organization dealing with the intellectual property matters. In the main here, when you talk about creativity, you talk about you know, content. There are rights to those who are producing the content, and there are rights to those who are buying the content and how they should use it. So all of those you know, issues are dealt with within that WIPO. There are also structures within the region, or region SADC, which deals with broadcasting matters, and within the African continent, in the AU, you know, in that respect. Having said you know, the things that I've said, I think we in line with the proclamation, we set ourselves to be focusing on overarching communications broadcasting policy and strategy and provide information dissemination and publicity to promote informed citizenry and also bringing the country you know, locally and abroad. These are the some of the focus and or the policy that we are going to be focusing on in the medium term, which I'm going to take you through when I deal with the various goals. Again, these are the bills that we will be looking at in the next financial year. I think in this slide, just to give you a situation analysis in terms of the state of affairs in the space, we acknowledge the fact that communication plays a very important role in realizing government strategic objectives, ensuring that people participate meaningfully into the programs of government, participating meaningfully into the economic activities in their respective areas. They only participate only when they're informed about what is happening around them. So that's where we locate communication in everything that we do. It is a way of promoting nation building, unity and social cohesion. I think the casing example of the Afrophobic attacks that we've seen, and I think the amount of communication that has happened since then, it just shows that our ability to engage each other has got the ability to resolve issues quicker and faster, so that we can begin to see each other as a people who must respect each other, in that way. So it's a very powerful tool for nation building. Be it broadcasting information, be it news that we consume through the print media, as it were, has to contribute towards building this rainbow nation, as it were. We also identify that the face-to-face engagement is a very powerful tool with engagement with citizens. But not only with citizens, but also with our own local companies and businesses. It's a very powerful tool. I think scaling up the Easy Business program is quite very key. But also at the same time, there are also challenges that we have identified, that the media remained dominated by the few, especially the print media. You used to have four companies, Prenet 94. Today, we still have four companies in the print media space. So it's one area I think we are looking at to say how do we change the ownership and management of such institutions, and also sometimes building new media houses which can provide an alternative voice in that space. So therefore, that then says that the content, therefore, that we consume is driven by few companies, which doesn't give you the diversity that you want, in that space. So we want to have more views on issues that are happening within the country. The other challenge is posed by the emergence of new technologies like social media. I think people, wherever they are, they're generating news every day, and the news are moving quite quick, fast. Find Facebook and other new forms of social media. So it's no longer waiting for the mainstream media to give you the news about what is happening. People themselves are generating news, so it poses also a challenge. In the broadcasting space, you have got new services, over-the-top services. Talk about Netflix wanting to launch in South Africa, video on demand, and all of those things. So all of these things poses a challenge to the media landscape and how we consume content as a nation. I think the one issue which has been on the table for some time is the whole question about the funding of the public broadcaster. We have prioritized this more so because the role of the public broadcaster is quite fundamental and critical. We are a developing country with the majority of the people in the rural areas who do not have access to mainstream news. Therefore, the role of a public broadcaster, both in television and in the radio space, becomes very, very critical. In some instances, radio becomes that source of information in a particular community. I think we all have the experience one way or another around this. Hence, its funding is important, so that it can be able to discharge its public service mandate, which is to inform, educate, and entertain South Africans. We also acknowledge that there's a challenge of inadequate funding for community broadcasting as a sector, and I think that's one area that I think Minister spoke about on the community broadcasting support strategy, on how do we scale up that support in a manner that community broadcasting, they perform what they're supposed to perform in their respective communities. We've also looked at the challenges in terms of governance challenges, which we are going to look at in our entities, and the delayed digital migration project. You know that we, as a country, we should have migrated by the 17th of June 2015, which is just a few days away, and we've missed that deadline. So which is going to have a huge impact. It's going to have an impact on many of the problems that we have on digital migration. And I think the last point really is to demonstrate that we need to be efficient in terms of how we communicate government programs. It's not only the responsibility of GCIS to do that, but the three spheres of government have to be equally efficient on how they communicate with the communities around government programs, in that respect. This is how the new department is structured. We will have three branches. The one branch, focusing on policy and research matters. This is where the issues relating to the mandate and the positioning of these entities is going to be dealt with, so that we are able to have policies that are enforceable, policies that are able to assist and direct how government communicates across the board, in that way. The second one, industrial capacity development. This branch will focus that as you have your policy, as you regulate, you also need to grow and develop your entrepreneurship, your enterprises, in that regard. That work will be happening, in that branch. That also includes the skills development issues. The last branch deals with the entity oversight. Minister made mention here of our entities. We've got ICASA, we've got SAPC, we've got MDDA, Brand SA, Solution Publication Board in our table. We therefore have to have that relationship that we need to build, the shareholder contract that must be signed, the articles and all of those things. So that branch will be responsible for that. And also managing the whole budget that must be transferred to these entities. Because we are a new department, we are not that big. We have our corporate services unit is in a small scale. It is going to be at a chief directorate level, where the two chief directors will report to the DG, not to a DDG. The functions of HR and IT and others will be located within the chief directorate corporate services. And then you've got the CFO. Supply chain facilities are all going to be located there. This is our startup structure that we. This has been approved and has been concurred with Minister of Public Service and Administration. These are our entities that I spoke about. Coming now to our strategic goals, we have set ourselves. We didn't want to have many strategic goals and many objectives. Very often, you have got all this long list of goals and objectives. So we try to remain very focused, because you know you can't start with everything, but you can build as you move along. So our first objective. Okay, I will try. No, thank you. I will move like a hot train. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. So I think maybe perhaps we want, you know, a responsive communication policy and global environment. And those are the objectives there that we have set ourselves, you know, also the deadlines, you know, in that regard. I'm going to touch on those when we go to the next. The next one, improve government communication and country branding to deal with the issues of the work of GCIS and also brand safety. The last one deals with the transformed communication sector. Transformation agenda in the media space remains high on our priority, and I think we've made it as our strategic goal, and I think you'll see our objectives there. Equally, the minister has signed a improvement agreement with the president, you know, on outcome 14, and it has got targets on what needs to be achieved. First one, he talks to supporting the development of sports and recreation, ensuring that by 2019, 66% of South Africans are showing pride in their kids in the various sporting codes as a way of contributing to national social cohesion. The second one, is on the identity, wherein 75% of Africans reflecting pride of being Africans by 2019. Next one, the next one talks to the 70% of content reflecting South Africans, you know, as it were, so that way. The program overview, I'm not going to take you through that. These are our branches and what they do. This is our budget at a high level. Total budget is 1.3, and I think I must say here we are very grateful to GCIS, who has made it possible for us to be established and have a startup cost and so on. So in that regard, our budget for 2015-16 is 1.3 billion, and moving and increasing to 1.4 in 2018 financial year. But the majority of the money that we will have goes into our entities so that they are able to deliver on their mandate. 5-year strategic plan, slide number 26 to slide 36 really deals with the issues relating to, we are a new department, of systems and policies that we need to put in place so that we can comply with various statutes, as it were. So it touches on the issues relating to your HR policies, financial policies, supply chain policies, IT policies, and all the things that we need to have so that we can be able to comply with various statutes, including the workplace skills plan and all of those things for the department. And I must say here, it says that we have adopted as a way of start GCIS policies, so that we don't have to go and restart afresh. We will, as we move along, amend those. If I can move straight to slide number, these are the slides that I spoke to. I think they are part of the presentation. If I will now move to the priorities that we're going to have, the first one is a review of the broadcasting policy. I think there's a role that you are going to play, in terms of, on the consultations. It was talks to the work of SABC, all broadcasting and community broadcasting. We are going to look at amendment to the broadcasting amendment bill, especially to do with the governance matters of the SABC. and also refining some of the sections which are currently in the ECA to be in line with the new mandate of the department. Here, we're also going to amend the ICASA Act to deal with the number of the councillors, you know, at ICASA, so that we can reduce that number. Minister spoke about the community broadcasting support strategy earlier on. I'm not going to repeat that. It's one area I think we are going to be coming to all the provinces so that we can, because in all the provinces there is a community radio station. To a large extent, there is a, you know, we do have some provinces, there's a community television that exists. In here, what I can, you know, indicate is the work that we're going to be doing at international level. You know, what I spoke about the ITU, that we should, as a country, when we go to these events, we've got clear policy positions as a country that guides everybody who goes and participates, you know, in those spaces. That then talks to the issues about how do we allocate and respect them in a manner that it addresses the past imbalances, you know, in terms of you know, the community radio stations and televisions and so on. So we need to do it in such a way that the entire country is covered and has got access to some form of media, especially on community radio. You know, I think the scarcity of the spectrum is that's what the problem is, you know, in the main. You know, you've got community radio stations, they are licensed by ICASA, but they can't find the frequencies where they should broadcast. The frequencies have been given to another you know, entity and so on. It's one area I think that we want to be looking at. The next area here, which I think we'll have to work rigorously, you know, is the issue about the central boxes for the support of digital migration. I think those targets there really are just indicative targets, but we are looking at finalizing the BTT program within 18 to 24 months, which is quite a very aggressive timeline, and I think the minister will announce the switch on dates at appropriate time around that. But we need to ensure that the boxes reaches everybody in the country, especially people who are in the borderline areas. Where there might be interferences, you know, with the Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, and all of those things. There's going to be a huge need for closer collaboration and working together with those communities. And we're looking at, you know, supporting 5 community radio stations, and I think my colleague, Jimaka, also can share with you more, you know, in which areas we're going to be dealing with this. The next area really is on the media transformation, you know, which for us is a critical area that talks to the community media also, and how they play in that space. So there's also our commitment to implement the community media projects. This is the collaboration that we're going to have with GCIS and MDDA in particular to ensure that such projects are implemented as indicated. So this one talk to the various legislation that are going to be passing through. And I must say here, Chair, the process that the Freedoms of Communication Board is undertaking now. On the consultations on the online you know, content policy. You know, I think you've got, we do have issues on how we regulate online content, pictures and all of those things. In some jurisdictions, you do have legislation that regulates such content, as it were. And I think we need to be able to, as this ministry, to go to a level where we can begin to bring a level, some level of discipline on how content is shared, especially content that is harmful to children. You know, in that way. So there is that process. I think the unfortunate that the colleagues are still in the PDC downstairs, but they will be able to share with you more of those. Minister spoke about the audio content, and I think the others are the ones that I spoke about that come from the minister's performance agreement, you know, as it were. The digital migration, I think we've been speaking for some time now around the awareness program. I think once the minister have announced the switch on date, you know, the partnership with various communities and various provinces and municipalities will then kickstart so they're able to communicate and ensure that people are able to get the box, the set-top boxes in their respective areas, as it were. That also includes forming partnerships with the traditional leaders. You know, it has been, I found it very effective, you know, efficient and effective way of how you consult with the people, you know, as it were. So those are. Lastly, the issue about industry research. We want to be the authoritative voice on when it comes to industry research matters, that we should be able to do research so that it can inform our policy making processes. This one talks to our intergovernmental, you know, stakeholder engagement work. The slide here talks to the work that we'll be doing with our entities, you know, shareholder contracts, how they sign, the issues about quarterly performance report and transfers and so on. And I must say here, we want to increase more in terms of the fact that, you know, before we transfer any money, there must be, you know, entities must be able to show that they've been able to deliver on what they're supposed to be delivering, as indicated in the quarterly reports. That's the point that I want to emphasize, you know, in this slide and the next slide. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Because we have many irons that we need to hit at the same time. Honorable ministers and team, let me just appreciate and welcome the presentations. Indeed, communications is a powerful tool for the country, for the citizens.
The Honourable Member wants to leave to attend another meeting. Therefore, I'm going to allow him just to post before he requested, before he can proceed with. Sorry for that.
Thank you very much. Maybe it should also be sharp and brief. On the content consumption, maybe there should be an elaboration on that, because truly speaking, the information, powerful as it is equally dangerous when it goes to the ears of the citizen at the grassroots level, where from time to time there can be an information that is very much, one may say, poisonous, repeatedly without any counter to demystify such a myth. The role of the media in ensuring that there is an intervention to correct such an imbalances. The second one is that of the media house, this powerful media house, which is historically in the hands of the very powerful few. looking also at the ownership,
is it any collaborations with the powerful international big boys that will influence the political, social, economic of the country's development? Maybe I'll pause there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. Do you want the department to answer it, or can they reply when they reply? Or because what we need or going to ask the department is to maybe also respond in writing so that you can be able to understand. So therefore, I'm not going to allow the department to respond now. You want?
I'm covered, Honorable Chair. The written response will cover, because I have the opportunity also to go through what the Honorable Members have also asked.
Thank you, Honorable Member. You are excused for now. Thank you. We can proceed with our next presentation. Thank you. Honourable Members, the next presentation will be GCIS. Do you have the documents in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With your permission, I will start the presentation. I'm mindful of your request that we should stick to time so that we can have a much broader engagement about the details. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for your attention. I will proceed straight to slide 3, which really just focuses on the mandate and as a recap of where we are. If you recall, GCIS derives its constitutional mandate from Section 195G of the Constitution. What it does is it actually enjoins on us to make sure that we foster transparency in the public by making sure that we provide citizens with the timely, accurate, and accessible information. So when you measure our efforts, it is essentially against this to determine whether or not we are doing our job. The first bullet point talks about us providing strategic leadership in government communication, and I think what is particularly relevant for this forum is that we will be charged with making sure that we roll out the National Communication Strategy, which has been approved by Cabinet. And that National Communication Strategy, among other things, focuses on ensuring that we popularize the NDP to provide a vision for the country as we move forward. What is also important is that in this role of providing leadership, we are also charged with making sure that the government's program of action is communicated to all citizens. And a key aspect of this is the efforts that we are embarking on to make sure that we clarify and explain and engage communities in the rollout of the 9 key priorities, which are the drivers of the economy. The second bullet point talks to coordination. I'm sure you will agree that this is really the area of focus for us here. How do we make sure that the 3 tiers of government are communicating effectively? We have the 9 offices in each of the provinces, as you all know, and we've anchored our primary services around the 2 zone service centers. We do acknowledge that, particularly when it comes to areas such as rapid response, there are aspects where we need to cascade the rapid response system throughout the government communication network. So our focus really here is to entrench communication best practice, and we are doing this by providing training and assistance to our colleagues on the ground. I will very briefly just go to the next slide and just highlight the role that we play in terms of taking the executive to the people, and to add that in this INBISO program that we've just concluded, we were able to take not only members of cabinet to sit down and work and engage with communities, but we had the privilege of working with premiers. We took executive mayors with us, so that we really had a sense of what it is that is happening on the ground. And what we are quite clear about is these INBISO opportunities are not just talk shops where government talks at people. We are using it as an opportunity to listen, but also the key focus for us is when the ministers are going out there, they're also taking those opportunities to do evaluative work. So we have gone and we've taken the model that the president has for the Siyahlola visits, and we've packaged that into the INBISO program. So it's not just about talking, but it's also evaluation. And what the president has made clear is that he expects that when the ministers go on these INBISO programs, they do subsequent follow-ups. So it's not one visit and then you don't see them again until next year. They will have to come back and assess whether the interventions are working. The last aspect, the last bullet point, just talks briefly about value for money in advertising, and the minister had touched on this, that we have an ongoing program to make sure that we advertise in community media, so that the community media, newspapers, radio stations, remain sustainable. In this tight economy, often the government advertising really makes a difference in making sure that these community initiatives stay on air and are able to print and share information with all our citizens. So in terms of our vision, mission and values, I think your focus will be drawn immediately to our mission, in that this points out where the work is. This is what we are trying to achieve. We are very focused in this term on setting and influencing adherence to standards and coherence of messages. We are very mindful of the fact that there are gaps in our communication. We are quite strong at responding to national messages. But when it comes to the nuts and bolts, the fact that it takes us a long time to respond to service delivery matters at the local level is of concern, and our ability to roll out this rapid response system, which is basically a war room for communicators, is how I think we are going to be measured in this term. I won't touch too much on this. It really speaks to how we integrate with the other entities that are in the government communications portfolio. I just want to show you how the linkages work. So the purple block at the bottom, the purple circle at the bottom, that speaks to how government projects itself both in South Africa but also internationally. That space is a space that we are working on in partnership with the DOC as well as Brand South Africa. So when Brand South Africa comes and talks about enhancing the image of government and the state, there is collaboration that is happening in that space. The green circle on your extreme, on your right-hand side, if you're on that side of the table, talks to making sure that when government communicates, we are doing so in a way that is accessible to the public. And we are paying particular attention to not only language, but also how our adverts look. So representation in terms of images, so that we have racial representation, gender representation, we can show all South Africans in our communication. I think that is becoming more pressing as we look at the challenge of making sure that we have social cohesion. The top part in the brownie red kind of color talks about the communication system itself. So earlier on I was saying that we are paying particular attention to this. What we are doing is we are actually going out and we are providing workshops. So we will go to the provinces. We started first with the national communication strategy itself. So we've taken that to all the provinces through the premier's offices to unpack the national communication strategy. The next stage is to actually sit down and evaluate the plans that are being developed at the provincial level to see how we can assist them by providing additional content, training and support so that they are able to roll out aspects of the national communication strategy in the provinces and at the local level. The one area that we have strengthened, and I should have had the good sense to bring the books with me, we have now published a communicator's handbook because we are really focused on making sure that we have this uniformity in the performance of the communication system. So we have now published the communicator's handbook, which is the basis for all of our training, mm-hmm. and I will ensure that the members receive a copy. I've touched on the fact that the National Communication Strategic Framework, that document, we have now been tasked with making sure that it is a living document and that we are implementing it fully. One of the key matters that came up when we were doing the preparatory work in developing the National Communication Strategy was the realization that when government communicates, we must use all the channels to make sure that we are bringing our messages to the people. And this year, we have paid particular attention to moving into the digital space. So we're doing a lot of work in digital and online, mainly because we have realized that we are at a tipping point. Most South Africans have access to mobile telephony. So if they don't have a basic feature phone, a lot of people are now transitioning to smartphones. You know, some of us who live in the cities, when our contracts come to an end and we renew to get the next new thing, we take our phones to our parents and then they inherit our smartphones. So the technology is making its way to from urban areas into peri-urban and rural areas. And what we have done, members, is when we talked about Buku Zenzele, the physical newspaper, that newspaper is now available as a digital download. You can get it from the Apple Play Store. It's on Android, and it's also available on the Apple platform. So we have tried to expand the footprint without taking more money out of the fiscus. What we've done is to use technology to allow us to reach more and more South Africans. We have also done the same with SA News. We've remodeled that website so that it's actually readable from your phone, so that we can get government services into people's hands. Essentially, our dream is that if you are not able to get to 2-3 taxis so that you can get to town to get a form, you should be able to transact with government in the future from your phone. That is the vision that we have, and we are working quite hard to make sure that we move into that digital space. The structure of DCIS it's a Schedule 1 department. What this means is that we are a fully located inside the communication portfolio, reporting to the Minister of Communication, working in collaboration with all of the entities that are in the communication portfolio. We have the three branches. The one branch focuses primarily on administration, but the two branches, and I'll go into some detail on their work, the first one talks to content processing and dissemination, and the middle branch talks to the intergovernmental coordination, which is the area of work that I believe you will be most interested in. So let me start with the content processing and dissemination. The strategic objective here is to make sure that we enhance government's communication products and services to grow our share of voice in the public arena. So the previous member that has just left us was really starting this conversation to say, how is it that we make sure that government is able to put its story across in an effective way through all the available media platforms? This is the focus of this specific branch, and to do that, we have developed Vukuzenzele, primarily as our newspaper that is going to be available to showcase the work that has been done. And what the minister alluded to earlier is that in July, when we introduce the jobs supplement in Vukuzenzele, our intention is also to increase the frequency of the newspaper. So we don't want it to go out once a month. We want the publication to go out twice a month. This, we believe, is an important way of making sure that we can get more information into the hands of the public. The one there that's called GovCom, that is a publication that we are sending out to government communicators. And we are using it to share best practice. We're using it to share case studies so that communicators are able to have a reference point when we talk about implementing a shared code of ethics around communication. They will be able to learn from one another what it is and how to implement these going forward. I'm going at speed, I do apologize. The other areas in terms of our content development, we have got the SA yearbook, which is an important resource for us. For a long time, I'm not giving away my age, but when I started to learn how to read, you know, we used to have Reader's Digest books in the house. My grandparents used to buy them. I don't know if they read them, but I think they look good. We have decided that we're going to put our efforts into making sure that we replace those books. We have our own version, it's the South African Yearbook, and we are making it available to national libraries and we're distributing them to schools so that young people can learn about this country and understand everything from our symbols to all of the things that make this country unique. And it's a critical part of this project of social cohesion, because what we want to do is for South Africans to have a reference point of South Africans as being a nation. That book we are now distributing not only physically, but we've developed CDs so that it can give us a bigger footprint. And in the future, we want to make it multimedia so that you can actually click and play the national anthem, click and watch a video. But that is, I will come back and report progress on how far we have moved with that aspect. SA News, which is the one that I touched on earlier, during the course of this morning, there will be content coming out of this session that speaks to our work. I think it's important that we share what we do with all South Africans. So when you have time in the afternoon, please go and visit SA News and you will find that we have reported on today's session. The other key aspect of this content area is that the content that we develop is not dreamt up in an office in Pretoria. What we do is that we engage research, national research, twice a year. We go out and we consult South Africans and we ask them what are the issues that are of concern to them. And that information is what we use in our communication strategies for the clusters. It is the information that we use in developing content for opinion pieces, speeches, that really guides our communication with the public. So what you would have noticed in the last 4 or 5 months since we really put momentum behind the IMC on communication is that ministers are now writing more and more opinion pieces. So you will have seen in independent newspapers every week there is a minister who is contributing an opinion piece on the work of government, every week without fail. And we have got the same partnerships with not only independent newspaper company, we have it with the Citizen, we have it with the New Age, because we believe that we should be actually amplifying government's voice in the media. If I can then just move quickly to the slide that talks about about the topic says Communication Service Agency, and just to remind you of the, I think it was the green circle on the right hand side, I had said that we are looking very closely at government's image. So the branding on our business cards, how people locate our offices, the languages that we are communicating in at those offices, all of those matters are very important. And we have a team in the Communication Service Agency that focuses specifically on that area. We are consulting to other departments. So, for example, when the Northwest processes the paperwork and starts to this process of changing its name, will be an integral part of that team in terms of guiding the department on how to apply that logo and what is permissible in the existing government framework. This team is also responsible for media buying, and it's an area that I would like to bring reports to the members for your attention, so that we can account for how we are using government advertising spend to effect transformation, specifically to support community media. So when we come through, we should be saying to you, of the 250 million rand that has been entrusted to us to advertise government messages, this is how we are allocating to community media, this is how we are allocating to companies that are owned by previously disadvantaged individuals, young women, youth, so that you have a sense how those funds are being spent. Okay. The provincial and local liaison offices, last year we had a difficult year. We had resignations. Unfortunately, what happens at the GCIS is that we recruit, we train, and when our staff in the local government network specifically reach a particular area of competence, they then get poached by local government and we have to start again. Last year was just such a year. And I believe that now that we are going to head into the elections next year, we're going to have a similar situation where the first port of call is for municipalities is going to be GCIS staff. So we have a few vacancies in this area. We are filling these posts, but I will confess that I will be coming back to you probably to say, you know, the people that we recruited, unfortunately, they've left and they've joined the municipality. But we think that is part of our role. We must share the expertise that we have. It creates discomfort because people have to double up, but it's critical for us to make sure, if we want the system to work, to allow people to have the freedom to migrate into jobs in local government. So here what we are doing is we will be coming back to table evaluative reports on the health of the communication system in the provinces. We will produce four reports, and those reports will be detailed, and they will outline where we believe we have specific gaps and what our interventions are going to be to assist those municipalities and local areas to raise the level of communication. What we also do is that we use our Tucson service centers to roll out a basket of government services. So what I didn't mention is, yes, we have the physical Tucson service centers, but we have now invested in mobile Tucson service centers. We have the trucks, and we're able to go to areas where we don't have the actual fixed infrastructure. When we do this, we take our sister departments with us. So we will take social development, and we will take home affairs to those areas where South Africans would need to travel longer distances in order to reach our services. So we go to communities, and we will sit, and we will make sure that we provide that service, and we promote it in advance so that people come to us prepared. But when we come with social development, for example, and they have the information there, they're able to implement things such as data capturing so that people are on the social security network. They are able to return with forms that have been completed and actually give people the SASSA cards. So it's a very useful intervention for us, and it's an area that we want to beef up as we go ahead. I wanted to quickly move to media engagement. What we have done now is that the media engagement team leads our rapid response system. So every morning, we start our day by assessing the media environment. We look at what is in the news, and we are able to very quickly determine what the storyline is going to be for the rest of the day. So in this forum is where we are able to pick up the phone and we can say to communicators and departments, look, there is a query about water. We need to intervene, and it's in this particular place in Limpopo. Contact the local mayor and find out what plan they have to make sure that they are addressing the public. We generally give them a deadline of 12 o'clock to compile the response and publish it the same day. Now, this is currently operating out of the Pretoria offices. Our challenge is to cascade this system into the provinces so that they can respond more immediately to the issues as they emerge on the ground. This is a particular area of focus, and if you can assist us by keeping us honest by watching how we perform in that space. The other things really relate to the work that we do around post-cabinet briefings. The post-cabinet briefings happen here normally, and it's driven by the media engagement team. We listened to the fact that not all people who are resident in South Africa understand South African languages. So we now translate this into Portuguese, we translate it into French, so that we can communicate with foreign citizens who are in this country. So we have started to start thinking more about how foreign citizens are integrated and they have access to information in the country. The cluster communications, we provide support to national departments in determining, in developing their communication strategies. This is ongoing work, and we will come and bring some of the campaigns just so that you have a sense of what it is that we do, but I won't go into too much detail on this slide. I'm pretty sure you don't want us to discuss the budget, but if you did want to, the CFO is here, and we can go into the budget. But as an overview of what the department is about and what we have committed to do to support the work of the ministry, I think that quick overview gives a sense of our focus for the year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think it those other presentations. I'm going to allow the honourable member to ask questions. I think you can respond, but also in writing if you want to respond, to follow up. From my side, just a general question before I'm going to ask questions, to allow the for questions, is about the cyber warfare. Is it under your department? And if so, how do you deal with it? Because I was in Vietnam now, that's why I picked up. It's a very serious matter. And we are very quiet here. I didn't pick up anywhere about cyber warfare. And it is a threat, although it is in social media. There is advantages that we having there by communicating the story, but there is also threats. And I just want to understand, what are you doing with it? Over to the members, can I have a Honorable Hai, Honorable Singh, Honorable Smith, for now, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I don't know if we're done with the presentation, because in front of me I've got a document here on broadcasting digital migration, state of readiness.
Thank you, Honorable Member, for raising that matter, because I was asking my secretary. Because the next presentation was supposed to be that one. But I think the confusion came when I allow the honourable member to ask that question. Therefore, I accept that mistake. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just update the House as to what actually happened. You'll recall when the President signed the initial proclamation, he transferred the entire ECA to the Minister of Telecoms. That led to the confusion as to where does BTT belong, because the ECA had provisions of the broadcasting infrastructure issues, and then he had transferred the Broadcasting Act to our department. But finally, in November, the President rectified that, such that then it was very clear that that chapter that deals with broadcasting and broadcasting spectra in the ECA belongs to us, our SIO ministry. Consequence of that, then we had a handover meeting of the project. It was held on the 31st of January 2015. But I want to impress members that this team, they worked behind closed doors under difficult circumstances, such that we able in February to produce the amended version to cabinet for approval of the DG policy, and then indeed cabinet approved the policy on the 4th of March, and then we got it gazetted on the 18th of March. So the team, I wanted to give you this background to say that. Also, the beauty about the policy itself, the original policy, the thing that you need to brag about politicians, initially the 2008 policy was going to give subsidy for poor households 70%. It means then the consumer was going to contribute 30% to the set-top box. With this new amendment, because you might have read a lot of alabaloo in the media to say we have deviated from the previous policy, we have brought the new policy. With this new one, we are saying, because you know, since 2008, the economy has gone down. We've got most of our unemployment people then who can't even afford to pay that 80%. We are saying we'll have to subsidize them 100%. And then it's one thing that when we go to the constituency, we'll be able to brag about, so that we are committed for people to migrate. Also, on the policy, we had to define what was this set-top box control system, because that's the issue that has raised a lot of contention, because the previous policy didn't define it. And then we also had a court judgment that said in the past week, Minister Poli, to say, as government, we cannot prescribe what type of conditional access the broadcasters can just decide on themselves. Ours now with the new policy was to define what a security feature is, so that we had to protect a government investment on the set-top boxes. That's basically the summary, but Norman will quickly take you through the presentation so that you understand where we are in terms of our action plan and so how do we intend to roll out. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will again try to move and emphasize on this topic, which is a topic which has been in the country since 2003. It's a long time, and the first policy, as Minister has indicated, was passed by Cabinet in 2008. You know, by now, I think how many years? 7 years. We should have migrated, but we are still stuck in the initial phases. But I think we have made huge strides to ensure that we're able to launch the services.
Okay. You see the colleagues from the list of the two board members from the MDDA. They have just joined us from the other portfolio committee.
Thank you. Welcome to the members. You can take a seat.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the Minister have touched on the introduction. I'm not going to take you through it again. Just as a way of background, in South Africa, analog television was introduced in South Africa in 1976. Currently, the way we, you know, currently all television in South Africa can only receive analog terrestrial broadcasting signal. Unless you are on the DSTV, you can receive it through a satellite means. And I think our main focus with the current program is to address the population that rely on all free-to-air analog system. And in simple terms, broadcasting migration is the conversion of all analog television to digital television. Just the way you the look and feel of television, and so on. So this is as a result of the treaty as a country we signed with the as part of the ITU that countries in Region 1, which means Region 1 means Europe, Africa, Middle East, and the Republic of Iran, that by 17 June they should have migrated, were signatory to that agreement. And that the consequence of not migrating is that 17 June will not be protected, meaning that if there are interferences, for example, from services coming from Botswana, we can't go and claim redress anywhere in the ITU. You're not protected. The same can happen if our signals can reach Namibia or Zimbabwe. They can force us to shut down our transmitters. That is the consequence of that. And the issue here is that digital migration, in simple terms, it simply means that you want to clear the existing broadcasters. I want to go slow on this one. You are clearing the existing broadcasters from the radio frequency spectrum that they currently occupy, where they are providing their broadcasting services, to enable that spectrum that you are going to clear to be used for the provision in the main of mobile broadband services. So it's a migration. So you are taking... they are here, so you are migrating them. It's not new, yeah, to another platform, so that you can use this for other services. That's what digital migration is about, in simple terms. So these are the gadgets that are used. This is the set-top box. Set-top box decoder in another language, what we have with DSTV. This is at the back of it. Because it's terrestrial television, you will need an area, just like what you have currently with your bunny ear, or an area outside. It's terrestrial. It is not satellite, in that way. So this is just a graphic depiction of what happens, in the space for us to be able to receive the signal, as it were. So this other one here goes to the satellite. You see the one at the top is a satellite, but the other one goes straight from Centec into the towers into our homes. And that's the part that we are talking about. And I think in here we try to ensure that the people continues to receive the services the way they used to receive the services, in line with the universal access to broadcasting as per the Constitution of the Republic. We will not want any household or anybody to be disenfranchised in any way, that they should continue to receive these services the way they are receiving. The good thing about DTT, which is digital television, is that it gives you better, clear pictures. It's either you've got a signal or no signal. you don't have, you know, those issues where if you had the border somewhere, they have all these diseases. You can't even see whether the picture. There you've got a clear picture all the time. In a situation. That's what DDT gives. And it's not about the economic or social status of a person. Wherever you are, you receive the same signal. The experience is the same. The experience is the same for everybody. So I think here, just to recap on what the minister spoke about the cases and what has happened, which has delayed us. I will touch on the issue that minister spoke about, which is the issue of the bone of contention, the whole issue about this encryption control system, which has been on the agenda for a long time, and I think for us as government, from a policy point of view, we have taken a view that says we need to ensure that our people are able to receive the services. Cabinet has taken a decision to give 100% subsidy to all 5 million TV owning households. Minister touched on that. Secondly, the minister is going to announce the analog switch on and switch off dates, and the inclusion of a control system, which is a security feature, will going to be included in there. So these are just the things that I spoke about, that the control system, as cabinet has approved, does not mean a conditional access in terms of how you access the content. Conditional access means that I have got my content, as a public broadcaster, as a broadcaster, but I've invested a huge amount of money, and I want to control how you access it. That's what it means. It's a conditional access. So it controls how you access it. But one of the conditions that you must access it is that you must pay. Just like what we have now with the DSTV or Top TV or any other pay services and so on. And we are saying as government, we are more concerned about protecting the box, the set-top box, than protecting the content on how people are accessing the content. These are the key role players who are playing in the space. Sentech, because they have got all the towers all over the country, from Cape to Messina. You also have ICASA. ICASA plays a role in terms of ensuring that there are regulations that govern. You have got the SABS, which must define the standard, which is going to be used, that, we can use the same standard. You have got USASA, which must then procure the set-top boxes. Post offices brought them on board because they've got the biggest reach, so that we can use the post offices as a way of distribution points, especially in the rural areas, as it were. And then we've got broadcasters that I'm speaking about. Currently, it's SABC. We need to migrate SABC 1, 2, and 3. You've got ETV, needs to be migrated, and then you've got Mnet, which is a terrestrial pay service, which has occupying frequencies in that regard. Those are the role players. Then you've got consumers, the people who are consuming. So I think the most important thing here is that the consumers, the responsibility here is to ensure that we assist them so that we can migrate quick and fast, so that we can clear the spectrum quickly as possible to enable broadband services to be made available, in that way. So that is the whole. That's why government is saying 100%, so that there can be a quicker uptake of digital services in the public. And I think the other thing is that there's a need to ensure that there is a clear communication and awareness campaign that is being rolled out. And I think in this regard, Chair, we have decided that now that GCIS is now stable, we are going to use the GCIS because they are the experts when coming to communication matters. We will use our own also as a way of positioning GCIS as that trusted communication agency of government, in that way. So we've taken that decision that they will be good to assist us on communication matters. So this is just high level milestones on things that we've done. I'm not going to take you through all of those. But safe to say that the network is ready. Centec has done network is ready. It covers the entire country. We do have a project governance structure with the program head, and the operation task team, also government industry, which is looking at all the other issues that needs to be done. Public awareness, I've touched on it already. And the issue here is the contact center, which way in, I think people, if they need help and support, they can call and get the necessary support, in that way. But also at the same time, as well, that the people in those areas are the ones who are going to do the installations. They can also go back and assist in terms of aftercare, in those particular areas. These are the outstanding matters. It's for Minister to announce the, switch on date. This I think we're quite at an advanced stage. I think it can be done anytime. The issue is just that she needs to go back to cabinet. Senator Akorajan can comment anytime. But there are other issues, Chair, that I think is of standard in nature, that the satellite standard is not yet ready. And it will be ready end of this month, 30 April 2015. And I think there's an element of manufacturing in terms of growing the electronics industry. And we are saying we will use the manufacturing of set-top boxes locally as a way of assisting us to manufacture integrated digital television sets locally in the future. In that regard, you need to also have a standard on how this is going to be done. This standard will be ready by November 2015. And the procurement, I think, has started, and I think the issues of suppliers, I think ICASA have announced the suppliers who are going to be, supply which are local, in that way. Yeah, so this one is analog switch off again. We will check 6 months before the switch off how far are we as a country, put a communication plan around that, and then be able to communicate when we're going to switch off, in a particular area, so that people are aware that they must help get the set of boxes and so they're not left out in terms of accessing broadcasting content. The role of SOEs, I think, I've touched on this, all of them, what they're supposed to be doing. So I think in a nutshell, Chair, we have moved a great deal, really, to get the project back on track. And I think we are on course to ensure that we are launching DTT in the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again, Honorable Chairperson, and also like to thank the Minister and the officials that have been making presentation. Also to commend the Department for the strategic and the APPs that they've presented, which are concise and very clear. That will be able to monitor the implementation. First, let me start with the issue that the Minister raised earlier with regard to being invited again to the Circular Committee. I wanted to suggest, Honorable Chairperson, because we normally have committee meetings on Wednesdays, And the possibility could be that the minister might not be available because of cabinet meetings. We appreciate that she is here with us this morning. That we should have perhaps one Friday that we should invite the minister, so that we also get the strategic plans and the annual performance plans of the entities, because here now we're only dealing with the Department of Energy, CIS. There are other entities that we need to also deal with. Perhaps Friday for me would be, because we don't have any other business as members, so we could have the whole day. Perhaps those who are to leave to their provinces could book the last flight out of Cape Town. So that's the first point I wanted to raise. The other issue would also be to commend particularly SABC for also with regard to the work that it is doing, putting also in Parliament. Last week, as members of the National Council of Provinces, we were in the as part of our program of taking Parliament to the people. SABC was there. We have conducted interviews while the program was taking place. And there are even now follow-up interviews. Last night I was on Mhlobo Wenene at 8 o'clock. I might also request again Honorable Chairperson to be released, because there's another interview on the 2FM at 1 on the outcomes of the taking Parliament to the people. But I would like also to further make a request with regard to the EBs. It's a pity that the minister is not here, but perhaps we should get the outcomes of the meeting. She spoke about the EBs that are taking place. There was a mention of 70 EBs that are taking place throughout the country. Perhaps what should we should be requesting is that at least where in the provinces, if maybe one or two members of the committee in a particular province, for example, I come from the Eastern Cape, if the minister were to do the consultation and engagement in the Eastern Cape, that perhaps I'd be part of those, not necessarily to participate, just to observe as well. If there's another one in Limpopo or Albert Smith, could be part of those imbezos. But also, whilst I'm commending the SADC, I've not seen on the SADC these other imbezos. The one I saw was the one in Otwell. I don't know whether they only follow their minister, their bosses. But with regard to other ministries, I've not seen these imbezos being covered the same way that the one of the minister is being covered. Surprised to hear that they are 70, you know. The other issue related to also to, you know, there's a program on SABC 2 in the morning at 8, which is it's called the Call for the House. Yeah. A view from the House. I don't know if with regard to government communication, I'm going to be general, I'm touching on all the communication, the CIS and the and the migration data.
Honourable Member, that's what I wanted to request. I'm going to touch all over.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, so they will be able to respond accordingly. So I would say as Parliament, we are able to, you know, be there with regard to the work that we are doing, the coverage that we get from SABC and also from the other broadcasters, including 408. But there's not much from the government, a program similar to the View from the House that talks about what happens in cabinet. I know you've been reporting that there are post-cabinet briefings. For me, I don't think that is about, it's usually just in the news. But with regard to Parliament, you've got a dedicated program that is focusing on Parliament. There's an example of you from the House. government to be able to say this is what we are doing as government, and then, and therefore there are regular interviews with government ministers or government officials. So perhaps that's something that should be considered. With regard to the issue of Afrophobia, I know that there will be documentary that the SADC will be embarking upon. I'm not sure, sometimes, you know, it's better sometimes if ideas come from the people in addition to what the government will be doing. If also there could be ideas from the people. You know, things like this, you have competitions on the essay, maybe things like essays. You have learners to write essays about xenophobia, kind of a competition, a national competition, so that you are able to see how then do you broadcast those essays. For instance, on SADC, on SAFM, between, say, quarter to 12 and 12, there's always this book reading. Perhaps you could use that platform to read these essays on the issue of Afrophobia or xenophobia. But also, you know, in around 9, there's what is called Ufuno Lencwadi. You could use those platforms as well. So I'm saying that in addition to the initiatives that are being taken at a higher level, if you could also involve people themselves who are affected by this thing, could come with ideas on how do we deal or tackle these particular issues. Excuse me. And on GCIS, you know, the first time we, the select committee, we receive a briefing from at the time the both departments came to the select committee, telecommunication and postal services, as well as the Department of Communication. With regard to the GCIS, we asked a question, why was the position, I think then it was called CEO, why the position was vacant. Today is it's April 23rd or 22nd. We're still having a person acting in that position. Can we get when are we having a full-time person in that particular position? With regard to the Vukuzenzele, I'm not sure whether there is a possibility, as well as part of communicating what government is doing, whether the considerations, we appreciate and commend the fact that the paper now will be produced twice a month, whether the possibility of having information, you know, you get, especially with the commercial newspaper, you know, every now we've got all this information. Sometimes they are choosing government, but you don't have response, immediate response from government to clarify, you know, these issues. I don't know if a consideration for a weekly newspaper like Vukuzenzele can be considered. Also, with regard to the distribution, whether you should not also be considering areas where there are no newspapers or areas where there's a dominance of one newspaper. For example, where I come from in East London, there's one newspaper, the Daily Dispatch. It's having a full day every day. You know, and to be honest, it's an anti-ruling party, you know, that's my opinion, anti-ruling party newspaper. There are no other choices with regard to newspapers that are progressive. I'm saying, therefore, in terms of distribution, shouldn't you also be considering areas where there are no newspapers at all, or there is only one dominant newspaper, so that also informs your distribution, you know, in areas such as this. With regard to the issue then of becoming to the issue of the digital migration, agree with you that I've heard about this long before I even thought I would be in Parliament. I'm glad that you mentioned the specific year. But for me, I want, here now we're getting a status report. My view that we perhaps need to have this in a form of an APP so that we're able to monitor the implementation. You know, you've got these targets, some of them have not been completed, others 16% complete and so forth. But if we were to have targets, indicators, time frames, then we'll be able to do our work as members of parliament with regard to oversight. But now if it's just a speaker's report, we're not sure what were the targets, what were the time frames, what were the indicators. So I'm saying rather than giving us a report on the speaker, let's have the APP with regard to this particular project. But also, while I'm on the issue of digital migration, the issue of set boxes, the manufacturing, whether there is any local content with the manufacturing of these set boxes. The last point, Honorable Chair, without compared level two, that also goes to SABC. There's a focus on national government, there are programs that are taking place in provinces. For instance, my province, the executive of my province, Eastern Cape, was embarking in the district called Kajadi. There was an outreach program of the executive, but there was no coverage of that. We must promote the image of the national government, must at the same time also promote the image of as well as programs of the provincial. I'm talking this as a provincial member of the NCOP, representing the interests of the provinces. I'm just making an example about my province, because I don't know what's happening in other provinces, but I am sure similar outreach programs are taking place in other provinces, but we don't get coverage of such. With regard to brand South Africa, you know, some of us became aware about Lady Smith Bileka Mambazo when they were performing outside the country. That's the only time that we became aware of and also got interested in their music. I'm raising this point because we could be focusing with regard to brand South Africa outside without necessarily branding South Africa also internal. What problem are we having internal to brand South Africa to the citizens of the country? So perhaps the matter that you could respond to now, or maybe when we deal with the strategic plans and the performance plans of the entities, if we agree on the Friday that we're talking about. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I think that is it from Honorable Masango later. I think there is a request from the honorable members that they want to send in their questions for written reply, because some of us have to go and attend other meetings. Therefore, I'm going to allow Mr. Singh, you are next. For those who cannot make it, you are welcome to send in your questions, written questions. This is okay. Thank you. Mr. Singh?
Chair, I think that I'll do the same. Okay. And I think that Honorable Tai has covered all the questions for all the members. But I think I've got to leave now.
Okay.
I'll do the question as well.
Okay, sure. Honorable Smith, you welcome to close your.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will accept it that the responses is in writing, as it's normal practice for us in the committee in any way to do it that way. I've got two questions. The first question is, the department that requested Treasury and the Auditor General of outstanding amounts, close to 6.6 million, from an unnamed service provider. Can the department give some clarity in terms of this debt amount, what's going on, and maybe if it's possible to clarify, you know, the which provider that is. The other question I have is that the MDDA have not received more than 25 million rands from government, yet it's got a big task to fill. And why has the department been silent on this funding requirement from the MDDA? And also, is there a why isn't there a budget for it? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Is there any other member who want to ask a question? Honourable Matang.
Chair, I just want to reiterate my request to be, please be allowed to send questions in writing. Because these presentations were quite helpful in having one understand a little bit of what the work that is being done is, but also it triggered quite a number of clarity questions on my part, and I would really appreciate an opportunity to be able to send the questions so that one can get the answers in writing. I can just mention that the questions cover quite a wide range of the aspects of the presentations, from the department itself to GCIS and the updates that we have gotten. In terms of the, I would just say, in terms of the plans that are in place to ready the communities, especially from the rural side of things, for all the programs of government that are coming out that are going to be helping in the provision of jobs and things like that, so that the communities are ready for that, and also the following of the legislation that is being implemented and the policies to say how is the monitoring and the evaluation of how those policies are implemented and if they are effective at all. So they cover that wide range, and of course there are those specific ones where you see a number of events being given, that 486 events, for example, how is the provincial spread of that footprint of the events, and my biggest one also was the research element. I'm very, very interested in finding out, you know, the if there are any examples of the previous research documents or research that has been conducted in the past that one can have the findings thereof, because I'm trusting that the feedback as one loop of communications coming back from the communities, coming back from the public, for me is a huge issue, because that's where we are believing, or we are expecting the communities to have a voice back to government about the messages that they are sent out and the services that are provided, and just to find out how much of that is coming from the rural section of the population. But I have the questions detailed, if you like, that I would request for the ministry or the department to respond to. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think from my side, it was also when I went through the report, the time frame was a concern. I noticed that you have long-term time frames, but not short-term time frames. Knowing that you are a new department, it may be difficult to put targets, but you must have targets that we will be able to monitor on a shorter term, maybe quarterly or whatever. I think that is one problem that I picked up a question from my side. The other question, if I might, I think I'm also a bit covered, was about slide 26-28 on internships in security systems. There are no time frames, again. How many interns you will be employed the year in when is the procurement process will start? When the procurement process will start? If you just can clarify that to me. The other question that I like to pose is the SABC board members is present here. I believe. So, what steps have been taken by SABC in the department to ensure the stability within the SABC board following the removal of three of its members last month? I just love to understand what is going on with the stability in the board. Thank you.
I think I'm going to end over.
Is there any other questions that you
would
like to think? If not,
Honorable Khai,
you're welcome.
No, I think for me it's a question of communication on the point that you're raising.
Okay, okay.
There should be no confusion in the, yeah, in the society when we have a communication department and also the instrument to communicate. For example, the point you're raising, know that we have not discussed the issue of removal of the board members as a select committee, but the issue is the removal itself, which has created impression of the board being unstable. Has there been sufficient communication so that there's clarity in the mind of the citizen of the country? So that is the point. That's the last point, just to emphasize that we are a committee, select committee, which is similar to the portfolio committee. The only difference is that the focus of select committee is focusing on the interests of the provinces. But we have noticed, not only for this committee, but also other select committees, there's no coverage of the activities of these select committees. But on daily basis, you see the activities of the portfolio committees of the National Assembly being broadcast, but none of the select committee activities is broadcast. So the point that I wanted to register. Yesterday, the portfolio committee, the SABC was there to cover the activities. So that's how I saw what was happening in the committee. In fact, I was making a mistake by saying it was actually the SABC that was covering the National Assembly Portfolio Committee. There's no TV or even radio in the SLIC. Not only for this committee, but all SLIC committee. Even with the view from the House, nothing is covered that comes from the select committee. But these committees are all equal. They are from the two houses, and these houses are equal. That's only to register. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think the NCOP has to fight for their space all over, even in Vietnam. I was a delegate, but my name was not like a delegate of parliament. It was a secretary to one of other members. Yeah, I think I will give over to you. Want to emphasize?
If I may, from the discussions that have taken place here, obviously Brand South Africa is not going to present today. A major problem that I have is, we have brought people down from Johannesburg especially for this presentation. It makes life very difficult, and it's costly. We're talking about budgets and insufficient budgets, and to have time frames that just don't work and the wasted time of three people is crazy. I think the matters being raised here this morning do span across many of the organizations that fall under the department. The answers, and I mean in particular, you're asking, what I hear from your honorable member, you're asking for coverage and for not to ignore the provinces. And I think, what's been presented by the Department of Communications already, that's been very well covered. And the fact that GCIS has also embracing the organizations under them to address that matter. So, again, my appeal is is shared here. But to me, you know, to waste time, expenditure the way we are is just not sensible.
Yeah, I think we raised it before, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. This is actually an issue that we've been grappling with for a while now, is that we try to crop a whole lot of things into one meeting, okay, which is not on. And it's important that, that we look at that and we make sure that we handle segments within the department at a time so that we can interrogate that specific either institution or subject properly. It does not help to be all over the place, and I think that is something that we really have to look at.
I think the request went out by the secretaries for this meeting. I don't know where it went wrong. I agreed with you because we addressed it previously. Can I ask the secretary to respond what was the request to the department so that we can have clarity where was the problem?
Good afternoon, everyone. The letter was very specific to say we were inviting the Department of Communications. We also asked them to touch on this digital migration. That was it. We avoided to invite all the entities because of the time. We were specific in the letter that we invited the department only. But I understand it maybe because the department with its entities was with the portfolio committee yesterday. So they assumed that you were also going to be here, all of you. Otherwise, the letter specific from the Select Committee to the department only, not the entities, because of the time.
Honorable members, can we allow the honorable member to...
No, just wanted to clarify the issue of Friday. I didn't mean this Friday. I meant that because normally Friday, unless there's something specific, normally free. So I think that we should consider having a meeting on Friday so that we can also deal with all the entities with regard to their strategic plans and the annual performance plan. I'm not specifically referring to this, but it's a matter that will be discussed between our committee, management, and the department and the ministry so that a suitable date could be set.
I think, honorable members, there was a planned workshop for, when was it planned for? Earlier this year. But it couldn't take place due to the program's office, the institution. I think what we need to do, because for we don't have sufficient time. Because if I must take one agency to come down and do a presentation, it will take more than one day to understand how the agency is working and asking questions for clarity and what. I think what we need to do after this, we must sit down, Honorable Chaim, the work, Opery, and do a program for the agencies. I think a workshop. Because we won't have time, really. We don't have time to deal with the agencies on a weekly basis in our committee. I think we will discuss and then we will come back. We take note of your point that you raised.
Madam Chair, may we make the offer that you've got a presentation. There are obviously a lot of things occupying your members' minds. We're very happy as an organisation to make sure that we can answer whatever it is, to take those questions, and to also ensure that we try and improve, as has already been stated, the communication, the exposure, and what you require from us.
Can I ask, honourable members, it's 12:30 now, half an hour, do you have time to listen to the to the presentation? How long is the presentation? Then we can also do written. I know that you will be excused. That we can do written questions. Seeing that you're coming all the way in, and I don't want you to waste your time taking note of your concern. Thank you. Then we can allow the questions in writing. For Honorable Khan, what do you say?
I don't know you were indicating that the brief to the department was specific as to who was invited. But I'm worried now we are only three members left here, and I have indicated that I have an interview with the 2FM at 1. I need to be leaving, and I hear that Honorable Masango. So I want to make a request that we need to apologize to Friends South Africa. But let's arrange for another meeting where the entities, like it will be enough, you know, still insist, rather than focusing on the West. So, because if we don't finish that, we can schedule all other Fridays, so that we done. Other committees are doing that. They do have special meetings on Friday, and they deal with the business of Parliament on Friday. So that's what I wanted to suggest. Otherwise,
I think
the presentation would be just for yourself, because you'll be the only member. I don't want this idea of sending written questions. We must have presentation, proper presentation. And if we decide on written questions, that decision must be taken in the meeting. So.
Okay. So let's give over to, is there another?
Thank you, Chair. You know, as a public broadcaster, mine is very simple. You'll remember when we were here, we did talk about the readiness of FHC for DTT, which we are ready even today. But just coming to Honorable Member, I think it is important that we, FHC, we hear the responding in writing, but that for us is not important. For us as FHC, we want to engage so that you can give input, because we also go to this our audience in different provinces. That is very critical for us to come and present whatever that we present, or you can probe questions, because those questions, they also assist from a public broadcaster. I think previously, honorable members and honorable chair, you'll be very happy that we, as SABC, we have put aside more than 600 million for provincial content for the first time in the history of the SABC, moving from 100 million. We went on RFP book. Now, those emerging production house, they are busy now producing content. But what we have done is to ask the big production house to assist them, because they don't have capacity and skills and expertise to write for television. Radio, we have many writers and producers in different provinces, because they normally write for radio stations. But I think we have moved a lot, Chair. But also what the comrade is, honorable member, what honorable member is also saying, his concern about the coverage of NSOP. I think also honorable member, he did contradict himself, because he said, as you see, we did very well to cover some of the, I think, your Imbizo. I saw, yes. But our promise was, we need to assign individuals within SABC, and we have appointed a lady here, a Lindo, to work with you. And Ayanda also is part of that team, so they will rotate between the two committees. I think it is important, because if we don't have anyone who is monitoring you, we're not going to be able to know exactly what the committee is doing and your programs. But I think we have fulfilled our promise, Chair. We did implement what we have agreed upon. We have someone now who is responsible for the NCOP. But also, I think it is important that we improve on the NCOP coverage on the educational side. Because most of people, just know Parliament, and they don't know the difference between NPOP and Parliament. But also I will appeal that we should not mix the two. As we are saying that your concern is portfolio committee, they were on television. But if we mix it, we are going to lose the impact of what we want to achieve. I think for us, we should separate maybe a 2 weeks period. When we deal with portfolio committee, people understand we are dealing with portfolio committee. When it's you, people understand, because if we can just lump them together, people are not going to be able really to follow what exactly we are talking about. That is my appeal. But the stability of the SABC, I'm not talking for about the board, because the minister can deal with the board issues. But from management side, Chair, we are very proud that we have filled all those vacancies within the organization. And we did appoint all women, and we are not apologetic in those positions. Because our view is South Africa, we can't talk about transformation after 20 years. It is wrong, especially when we as black people, we're the ones who are leading, we're decision makers. But as long as we don't take those decisions, we are going to talk about transformation until we die, all of us. And even the new generations, they will talk about transformation. I think for me, this is the call that NPOP you need to do to all leaders. They should take decisions and not compromise. People with disability, youth and women, we should not be apologetic on those appointments. And I was saying to the portfolio committee, no one was born with experience. You acquire experience on your job. Because people use experience to deny, especially women. Because they know some of them, most of them, they are not in those positions. So as SABC, we want to lead by example as a public broadcaster. When we come to government, we interview. We can't interview you when we ourselves are not making sure that there is transformation within the organization called SABC. If, Chair, you remember, we went on austerity in 2009. We were having 15 million cash in the bank. And I'm glad today that under this new leadership, as we are talking now, we have more than 1 billion in the bank, which is good news for the organization. But also, I need to deal with national archives. I think you have been reading. That is the last point that I want to emphasize, Chair. Because people are saying, SABC, we have sell national archives to multi-choice. I think we need to define what is national archives and who's supposed to receive national archives. You have a National Act archives, you have a Broadcasting Act where we deal with all these issues of archives. National archives, those are archives are not SABC archives, are citizens' archives. Just to give you an example, the late Minister Colin Shabane, if you have been monitoring SABC, we took him when he was still young. Those are national archives. And we can't deny the citizen to receive those national archives. Whether they are scholars, they are researchers, they are ordinary citizens. Normally they come to SABC to ask those national archives. What we keep is the original archives. We also supply other broadcasters internationally because we can't deny them. Example, if one president in whereas Britain, they pass on, we also receive those national archives because they can't say no. Even in South Africa, we do the same thing. What normally we do, we license content to other broadcasters, but not national archives. Commercial archives like your soapies, your dramas, your 7 Dilane, because there are two national, there are two archives. It's commercial archives and national archives. Commercial archives is where we do business. Because if we can't license other broadcasters, we can't be able to produce the same content. Who's going to pay those production houses? Who's going to pay those archives if we don't license other broadcasters? But that is business between all broadcasters. We normally do that. It is not a new issue that people are talking about, and we are not giving a multi-choice national archives as people are portraying on media. Just to clarify those issues, Chair.
Thank you very much for the information. I think when we ask in questions here, it's not that we want to put specific needs to put you there or the station there. It's a negative story in the media. We want you to come and tell the stories, the good stories. Because we know that people, the papers want their papers to be sold. They must sell the papers. And people won't buy papers if they good stories. They want this negative thing. That's why they put it in there. And I think that is why Mr. Chai is saying he asked for coverage. So that people can learn, listen, your side of the story. We're asking the not so nice question, and you will give us the nice answer. I think from my side, I think they deserve you. But I think we are going to allow you to respond to some questions because what they were saying, they don't like this thing of writing, but it's only us. Now we must decide, they must leave the questions to us. I don't know how we are going to handle now with the response to the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Also now worried they are even unable to even leave because I saw that other members have already gone and I'm under pressure to leave. But I wanted to request because Mr. Saudi said the FABC, they won't be able to respond in writing to the question. Rather, he should respond here now. So he's already done that. But I wanted to make a request that CIS and communication, if they can respond in writing. Because it's only yourself as a chair and not myself, other members. Arrange other meetings. They are still doing this parliamentary work, unfortunately. It's just that if they assume that by 12, normally the meetings are by 12, committee meetings are over, the members can then go to other meetings. So I wanted to suggest that because if you'll be the only one now left, so I rather suggest that the CIS. With regard to the question that I have posed and also the written question that other members will be posing to GCIS and the DOC can be responded to in writing. But also in addition to that, between the department and yourself and the secretary of the committee, you should arrange for a time where we will be having a strategic plans and the ATP plan presentation for the entities. And that should be also soon. Because after the strategic plans, we go for the vote debate. So we must finalize the strategic plans and ATPs before the budget votes.
Thank you, Honorable Chai. You know, I don't feel good about this because we as members don't respect, it seems to me, because it is impressive. It's not the reason, but we, when things went wrong, we're receiving late information, documents, and everything. Even when the minister is not attending, even if the DG is not attending or the CEO, we are complaining. So now we are sitting here with the red-faced members leaving, and how do you think the department must feel? They put a lot of work into this presentation. I just want to apologize to the department for my time. I am not bigger than you, meaning that I am a member of parliament. An honorable member must do the honorable thing. And I really want to apologize to you as a department. In future, we will see that the program, there will be enough time for you to respond because we want the job done by you. So we must also do our part. And I really want to apologize. Please accept my apology. Thank you very much for your time. And we will see in future, like Honorable Member Chai was saying, we must look at the date of the meeting
the other two meetings on the Friday, where we can have sufficient time for you to come down and money. And we are responsible to oversee your work. Therefore, we must be responsible. Thank you. But you are invited for lunch. Don't come and eat because the members already left. So who's going to eat the lunch?
Reprioritize lunch. No lunch for members. So if it's a waste, then so be it. Thank you.